There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now.
800-834-4690. 800-834-4690. That's 800-834-4690.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. We are back here in the studio. We've been covering a lot of really kind of broad topics around the show, but today we're talking specifically around something that you as a listener have heard me rant about before, which is innovation commercialization and how hard it really is to take that idea. And turn it into a meaningful impact of an innovation in the marketplace. Today, we have a different perspective on that. It's not just about the innovations happening inside of businesses, but how do you take innovations that are occurring in research institutions and turn those into companies, products, services that has broad impact? Today, we have two guests with us, Flavio Lobato and John Dorizio. I'm going to pronounce that wrong, and I'll apologize for that right up front, guys. But welcome to the show. Appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Thanks for having us, Phil.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you so much.
So give us a little bit of background. You guys are taking a little bit of a different approach to taking a look at trying to commercialize innovations from research institutions. And as we talked before we started the show, I shared with you my background in the late 80s and early 90s of trying this back then, and it got really frustrated in the whole experience. But you guys also have taken a little bit of a different approach. But give us a little bit of background on your own backgrounds and the company that you're with. So, Flavio, why don't you start us off? Give us a little bit of background on yourself.
Sure, Phil. Thank you for having us again. So very quickly, my background is in finance. I was in Wall Street since the 90s in places like Goldman and Credit Suisse. And later started and worked in the hedge fund industry where managed quite substantial amounts of assets. You know, my firm went through an exit, and basically 5 years ago, we began to look into this space.
And John, give us a little bit of your background.
Yeah, so my background, just always been passionate about the startup world, seeing creative problems and finding unique solutions to those problems. So really being hands-on, and that's taken me from founding a business incubator in Naples, Florida, to social business development opportunities in Haiti, and then obviously technology commercialization out of the Midwest.
So tell us a little bit about your firm. How'd you get started, and what do you guys focus on?
Sure. So ECOV comes from the Tupi Guarani. I'm actually Brazilian, and that's the native language of, you know, where I come from, and it means growth. And it's like that initial part of life. And this is exactly what we're trying to do. You know, given, you know, my background, we looked at the technology commercialization market and saw that there was a massive opportunity here, but really very little in terms of commercialization. Almost $70 billion invested every year in basic research to universities. And I think the latest numbers that we have is that less than 1% of that is actually invested in commercialization. At the same time, as you probably well know, the VC, the venture capital industry, is going through a transition where it's really moving away from early stage investing, and a lot of the money is now going towards much later stage. So, you know, the ability of technologies or early stage companies to get funding is just much harder. So that so-called valley of death, you know, and is very alive today. So what WeCove really does is really bridge a gap between lab and market, and do so with a lot of support that we can, you know, talk a little more as the show goes on.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You mentioned $70 billion, 1% ever gets commercialized. I probably would argue back when I was doing spin-out technologies from the University of Illinois, it was, you know, 1/4 of that. It's about 0.25%. But so the market, albeit has moved, it's still a huge challenge, though. What's the biggest hindrance from getting, you know, you got really smart researchers in all these universities. What's the challenge? What's the stumbling block to get something out of a university and actually turn it into some kind of a commercial success?
John, you want to take that one?
Yeah, I think there are a number of factors, Phil. One, you have an institution that it might not be set up with a structure and a mindset for commercialization. So you look at how the incentives are aligned, and the way that ECOV tackles that is bringing individuals, the stakeholders, the universities, the researchers, the inventor team on, and having them continue to develop the technology or the company with us. So creating that early incentive and alignment is critical for the first stage of what we do.
I think it's interesting. I mean, one of the challenges we had back when I was looking at this, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, was the some of the state laws actually prevented professors from benefiting from their research because they were technically state employees. So you had all these, you had these great researchers, and are you going to give up tenure to go try to do commercialization to avoid getting sideways on conflict of interest laws?
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, that's a big problem, and still exists today. And to some extent, you know, the IP is owned by the universities and not the researcher. So what really the researcher is getting at the end of the day is a piece of the royalties or you know, that the university ends up getting. But really, it does not. It's not really a motivating factor for them to walk away. And to be honest, most of them do not want to walk away. Right? They're not business people. They want to do what they love to do, which is research and invent and really innovate. And what we've really come together is with a structure approach where, first of all, we're not looking at one-offs. So, you know, it's not a approach where we're coming to XYZ University and we're looking for a one-off deal. We're looking to build a long-term relationship and build a partnership with the university to help them identify, you know, the you know, incredible technologies that are in development and then, you know, we do a lot of vetting. You know, we have a very, you know, sophisticated team within ECOV that, you know, vets the different technologies. But at the end of the day, it's aligning, you know, like John mentioned, and making sure that the inventor is also, you know, a part of it, not necessarily, as involved in the day-to-day of the business, but that he has that alignment of interest through the new company that's created. And a lot of the work that we ended up doing on the development of the technology is through the university, through the labs, which also, you know, goes really well within our strategy of lowering costs and leveraging the existing infrastructure that's already in place.
So when you're vetting, because that's the, you know, you've got a lot, you said $70 billion of funding goes to universities for research. What do you look for? How do you identify from your vetting process those characteristics of things that would be ones that you would select? What do you look for?
Yeah, so, you know, even to step back on that $70 billion, right? I mean, we have another layer on our strategy, which is we decided, you know, first of all, we go to the source of innovation. And the other one is we go where very few people are looking. So from our perspective, we're not going to the coasts. You know, we're not going to, you know, New York or Boston. I mean, I'm very involved, you know, with HBS. I actually, you know, I'm part of the angel network at HBS and advise, you know, on the student advisory board of Harvard iLabs. So I see a lot of that, right? You know, they don't need my help. I mean, they're doing fine. But, you know, when you look into the Midwest, right, specifically, you see 25%+ of that $70 billion is invested in the Midwest, right? However, that valley of death that I mentioned before is greatly exacerbated in the Midwest because whilst 25% is invested in terms of R&D, only 3% of venture capital dollars are actually invested in the region, right? So when we looked at that statistics, we said, okay, this is where we want to be because there's, you know, incredible innovation. There's an amazing infrastructure, right? So that's the first layer, right? We're based in Columbus, Ohio, and we've decided to, you know, set our, you know, initial operations in the region. Second of all, we structured, our startup nursery with basically right now we have three verticals. We're launching a fourth vertical. The first vertical is STEM, science, technology, and math, med tech, primarily regenerative medicines, and agritech. And we're launching a fintech vertical by the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You talked a little bit about the startup nursery. Give us just a quick highlight of what is this startup nursery? What is it?
Yeah, the startup nursery is basically our way of tackling this problem by bringing in all of the resources. So the global network that we've developed over the years through various endeavors, bringing in stakeholders, bringing in inventors and experts in their fields to continue the development, to add that extra layer and that extra firepower that's needed to get this from lab to market. So that's also, you know, a service model that we have access to centralized accounting and legal and intellectual property and all of the different various components that a startup would need.
Yeah, I like the term nursery because you always hear about incubators and accelerators. You don't need the incubator. You need to grow it in the form of whether it's an agricultural nursery, you're in a greenhouse growing it, or you got a baby idea that you got to mature it. So when we come back, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to continue on our conversation here, and don't be going anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to Killer Innovations. Carpenters have their hammers and saws. Chefs have their outfitted kitchens. And musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Rwanda is a shining example of how the global community can come together and rebuild a country after a devastating genocide. But there is still more that needs to be done. In the rural villages, students are crowded into schools with no electricity, no running water, no internet access, and limited sanitation. Will these kids be ready to continue the rebuilding of Rwanda, or will they be dependent upon others? Through education and employment, boys and girls have an equally promising future that can transform their struggling communities. For $20 a month, a child can be educated and a community strengthened. By supporting Pioneer Education Africa, a 501c3 charity, you partner with others to provide education that will prepare a generation to take on the task of self-reliance. 100% of the proceeds received go directly to the education of the children. Visit pioneereducationafrica.com to find out more.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. We're continuing our conversation with Aziz Janatra from ReMaterials. Now, I have to ask you, what possessed you to think about roofing? It's not an area of innovation or a solution area that I think about. But you talked about in the last segment about what we take for granted and looking at something with fresh eyes. So give us some background on what was the problem you were trying to solve with ReMaterials?
Absolutely. So there are two parts to to my answer. The first is from my solar lighting days working in rural India. I was exposed to all the problems that rural areas and low-income communities faced. And that just developed, passion in me that, we need to solve these real problems. But after that, more specifically, some of our older investors, they said, we should do this house in a box, a kit house, so that, and then we can just ship houses to all over the world from a factory. And of course, that connected to me because I've seen construction activity going on in rural areas all the time. So at that point, the market research started, spread across 4 states in India, rural areas, urban slums. I talked to 600 families, and what I saw was eye-opening. I saw that people had built some sort of brick walls, but roofing was consistently poor. And I have data that 80% out of 600 families used corrugated cement sheets and metal sheet roofing. Corrugated cement sheets are just 6 mm thick. They also controversially contain asbestos, which is banned in a lot of countries. And corrugated metal sheets are just 1 mm thick. And as we all know, metal is a good conductor of heat. Now, the living conditions in these houses were horrible because of roofing. In summers, the temperature would go to 45, 48 degrees Celsius, I think 110 Fahrenheit or something, very hot inside the house. I saw families sitting outside their own house. They said, no, we cannot be in our house. It's like a hot oven. So, not in afternoons. In monsoons, there'll be water leakage inside the house from the roof and their belongings will get wet and all of that. And, the cement sheets and metal sheets will crack and corrode easily. And there'll be like monkeys jumping on top of the roof and they'll throw stuff on the roof. It'll break easily. And I said, oh, my God, this is such a mess, And so many people in India and now we know abroad also, they use this roofing and there is just no alternate. And that was the spark. I said, this is such a global problem and a serious problem, and we absolutely need to solve this. And I just decided that I'm going to start a roofing company at that point of time.
So the question that it begs you is why hasn't anybody else seen this?
Well, I mean, see, that goes into the whole idea of which I still face today, that, you know, traditional businesses do not consider rural areas and urban poor, low-income communities as a market opportunity. That is relatively a new concept. One of the investors in our company is Dr. C.K. Prahlad's family, and he wrote the pioneering book named Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid. Mm-hmm. You know, people should read that book. It talks about this exact same thing, you know. So it's a new idea that a very large market opportunity exists at the bottom of the economic pyramid if we tap it in the right manner. So I think, yeah, people are realizing it only now. Yes.
Yeah, and it's actually interesting because the book you mentioned, I've read it. I've actually talked about it here in the show a number of years ago. And that's what and that book actually prompted my wife and I to shift our investments from the traditional startup phases and really to invest in entrepreneurs in developing countries. It is this untapped, plus the scarcity of risk capital to even invest. So in this case, you know, when I travel and I'm in, you know, developing countries, the roofing material just seems to be material of opportunity, meaning they take whatever they can find, right? It was just out of convenience. And corrugated steel, which is what's heavily used in the rural parts of Africa, is because they literally cut the sides off of containers, you know, and then
yes,
plop it onto the roof, and that becomes the, and like you said, I've been in those houses. The heat on the
yes.
thing is unbelievable. But okay, so in this case, you've identified this opportunity. You've identified it as not as what I would call, you know, it's not a charity model. You are a for-profit business trying
yes.
to solve this at scale, right?
Yes, absolutely, and that is my core idea, that for-profit businesses are possible, you know, if you cater to rural areas and urban poor and, you know, underserved segments. It is absolutely possible to have impact and profit together. That is the premise of our venture and a core idea that I believe in. Yes.
So real quick then, give us a little peek into what's different about your roofing solution versus what they have today with the corrugated steel or concrete roofing. What's different about yours?
So, you know, we knew right away that we needed to provide four key properties. We needed to provide strength, heat insulation, waterproofing, and aesthetics. And that is where we got started with our journey. We have a solution now which we've installed at several hundred houses, and our roofs actually lower the temperature in the house by 6 to 10 degrees Celsius. They're completely waterproof. They're strong. Families sleep on top, eat on top. They can do activities on top, store things on top, and they look beautiful, which is very important. You know, people value their homes a lot. They have an emotional connect to their houses, and we have to give them beautiful houses. We provide them with LED lights inside their house. We provide them with wooden carvings inside their house and make it, you know, something that they feel proud of, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, again, it's also this perception of serving a product into the low-income part of the economy, we tend to discount that, right? It's typically just aimed at being cheap, right? Versus
yes.
treating these people with the same respect. They don't have any less desires than any of us all have, right? Of having nice furniture, nice house, you know, provide for our kids, help our kids be successful. You know, they're dealing with the exact same motivations we have, and we need to think and treat them with that same level of respect. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
And so we're going to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to get into a little bit more about how this idea moved forward, early customer feedback, and then I'm going to ask Azit to share us with his One area of advice based on the experience he's had going through the building of Reed Materials and starting this company. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to Killer Innovations.
BizTalk Radio is now available on Amazon Echo. Just add the BizTalk Radio skills, then ask Alexa for the latest business news. You'll instantly get live, relevant information from the best business source, BizTalk Radio. Alexa, open BizTalk Market Tips.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site, 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis, 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit. Again, call 800-557-6095.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. We're here with Azit Ganatra from ReMaterials, talking about roofing as an area of innovation. Now, Azit, I have to tell you, what you just shared in the previous segment, I got the goosebumps. Because of your sensitivity to the respect that all customers deserve, no matter where they are on the pyramid. Talk a little bit about the start of the project up through kind of your first customers. How long did that take, and what was that whole process? What was that experience like?
Sure. So when the spark, you know, that we have to do alternate roofing, you know, that started, and we knew that we had to provide four key properties of strength, waterproofing, insulation, and aesthetics. We started looking at the materials, because what will this new roof be made of, right? We can talk about all these things. And then the whole materials exploration started, and, you know, I thought that we'll have a roof installed in 6 months, and then, you know, we'll raise money and we'll go from there. But it took 2 years to install our first demo roof. You know, you probably know, you've done startups. Yeah. You know that journey very well.
Yeah, you're living the innovator's dream, right?
All
innovators are optimists. We believe we can do it so fast, and then it just takes a lot longer than planned. Okay, so this took you 2 years to get to that first install.
First roof, but there were two key elements, you know, of innovation, which I really want to share. The first was the materials. There was always this idea that we can develop a new material, but we were trying off-the-shelf materials. And when those did not work, we started new materials development. I gathered around 15 types of waste materials in the backyard of the kitchen and started experimenting with those. The engineers' training came very handy, because we are good problem solvers, right? And then out of those 15 waste materials, we developed a roofing material that was made from cardboard waste and agricultural waste, like coconut fibers and, you know, completely natural, biodegradable roofing tile came out of it. And that was a hard journey, you know, to make the material. We needed machines. Where do you get machines? You need money. Nobody would rent the machines. Went through that whole journey. The second aspect is coming up with a modular design. You know, we knew that the roof had to be modular, because then it is easy to ship. You know, we have to ship it to remote areas, to rural areas, in very crowded urban slums. It has to be very easy to install. Who is going to install these roofs, right? We want to install millions of roofs across the world, and then we need skilled workers and all of that. So we came up with the modular design, very easy to install. The roof can be installed in less than a day by semi-skilled, unskilled workers also. So those two innovations took more than 2 years. And then finally, our first roof, you know, was installed in a low-income community in Ahmedabad in middle of 2015. And that was just felt great. Yeah.
So how many roofs have you installed now?
So as of right now, we have 150 plus roofs installed in slums of Ahmedabad primarily. So we have gone far. a very interesting, a sort of a milestone or a learning in the journey was when we started sales. You know, it's a very common question. People are like, well, how do you even sell to these people? Do they even have money? How do you reach to them? We started sales and we realized that some people were able to, and some said that we love your product, but we don't have, you know, $800, $500 upfront. And that point, we started partnering with microfinance companies. So right now, our roofs are sold in cash. There are families that pay cash, which has been a revelation to us and to our investors and to the world also, that they actually have cash. You know, just do not discount them. And half of the customers get their roofs financed from microfinance companies, and they just have to pay $30 a month, you know, and they get a high quality roofing in return. Yes.
And what is the average cost of a roof? Is it the $500 you mentioned? Or what, if you had to say, I know average is always hard, but what would you say the average cost in U.S. dollars terms?
What would a roof cost? Average cost is $700 to $800 or so for a 250 to 300 square feet house.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, our goal was never to be cheapest in the market. Our goal was to be the best in the market. There is difference between being low cost and being cost effective. And, you know, we had to find the right trade-offs and give them the properties. High quality roofing for developing world is the mission of our company. So we did not want to cut corners anywhere. Yeah.
So here's the question. What's the future look like for Rematerials? What's next for you?
So we are expanding our mission, going from high quality roofs. We want to go to high quality houses. So we have recently prototyped a full house, you know, very quick to install from our materials, developed from waste materials, high quality, very fast to install. And then we have also prototyped solar into the roofing. Shelter, imagine shelter. You need good walls and good roof, and you need electricity in the house and sanitation and so on and so forth. So the absolute idea is to solve all these basic necessities that are currently not being solved. Yes.
So you've been on this journey now for three and a half years. If a listener is thinking about trying to do the same thing you did, what would be that one piece of advice you would give them now that you're on this side of that learning curve?
I think it's a business. You have to be smart about it and run it like a startup. But before everything, you have to know if you are truly passionate about working in rural parts, any part of the world. It's going to get very hot. There's going to be electricity cuts. There's going to be puddles of water. There's going to be animals. There's going to be, you know, lots of issues and fights and all of that. Most people give up. You just cannot give up in these situations. And that, you know, there will be a time when that will be tested. And, you know, you'll find out. So, you know, figure out, try it, spend time in rural areas, do internships or, you know, take up a job. Figure out if you're passionate about it, if you're willing to give your life to it in no uncertain terms, no other words. And only then you will succeed. Only then you will make a dent. This cannot be a hobby project. You know, oh, yeah, we'll install 500 roofs. We did great for the world and then we'll shut down. No, you know, your goal has to be to reach globally. There are people in so many countries that need so many of these basic infrastructure and services. So it requires no more than 100% commitment. So figure that out first and then, you know, then start.
I think that's an excellent point because we've seen a lot of people go, you know, get all, you know, interested in social innovation, but then they don't stick it through. They don't actually Yes. drive the longer impact. So if people want to get in contact with you and they want to follow up with what you're doing, what's the best place for them to track you down?
So our product is called Mod Roof. I mean, it's like modular roof, but then our customers call it Modern Roof. So our website is modroof.in. And that's the best place. My email address is there on the website, so they can get in touch with us through that. Yes.
Well, Hazit, I do appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to join us today here at Killer Innovations. What you're doing and the passion you have for this is inspirational. And I would love to stay in touch and follow with what you're doing. And if I happen to be in your parts of the world, I'll definitely we'll do a stop by and maybe actually do the show again. But we'll do it from India. Keep up the work. There's opportunities for the people at the lower end of the pyramid. We can solve those innovations. And I just wanted to say thanks a lot for taking the time to join us today and telling us your story.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you so much.
So as we wrap up this segment of the show, don't forget, stay tuned. Fourth segment's coming up. That's the 5 minutes to new ideas. We have a new one for this week, so you're going to want to stay right where you're at and listen to that. Everything that we talked about in the first three segments of the show will be in the show notes. We'll have links to Madros Hazit, so you can track him down and reach out. When innovators are doing this kind of hard work, just getting an email from somebody from somewhere else in the world saying great job can go a long way. So reach out and encourage other innovators that you may know or may hear about and encourage them in their work. And with that, we're going to wrap up this segment of the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with 5 minutes to new ideas. I'm Phil McKinney. Carpenters have their hammers and saws, chefs have their outfitted kitchens, and musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to receive your free, no-obligation brochure from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-928-7007. That's 800-928-7007. Call 800-928-7007 today.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call an NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Back in the early days of this show, I would share what I called a killer question in each episode. These questions were designed to be used in your personal team or organization innovation efforts. Now, based on feedback from listeners like you, we've decided to bring it back with some improvements. Each episode of the Killer Innovations has a segment that I'm now calling 5 Minutes to New Ideas. They are designed for the creative mind looking for that next great idea. Each episode will challenge you to think differently about your business, your products, your services, and yourself by asking unique, funny, and sometimes crazy questions. These questions are designed to force you to look beyond the obvious and to uncover those ideas and opportunities you never before considered. So, get out your notebook and be ready to uncover that game-changing idea. Here is 5 Minutes to New Ideas. Do you need to have a finished product in order to make a sale? Is there any way that not offering a finished product would actually give you an advantage or even become a selling point? Now, my children have long since outgrown toys, but my grandkids have more than once roped me into visits to Build-A-Bear. Build-A-Bear, like the paint-your-own pottery craze that preceded it, doesn't offer a finished product. In fact, the whole selling point is that you create your own customized product in-store. These types of businesses are offering a dual product, both the end result, be it a stuffed animal and a personalized costume, or an I Love Papa coffee mug, and the chance to create something without taking responsibility for gathering materials or cleaning up the mess it generates. A stuffed toy may feel like a low-risk product, but children's fads can be as fickle as an adult's. Just ask any parent. Once you start adding the layers of design, complexity to a toy, clothes, accessories, pre-recorded sounds, you risk creating something that misses the mark with your target audience. Build-A-Bear's strategy is very clever in that it allows them to keep components rather than finished products as inventory. They never have to run the risk of being stuck with 10,000 astronaut bears the week after the last Pirates of the Caribbean opens. There are two points to take from this. The first is that these companies are reducing their risk of having a stockroom full of briefly popular products that they now can't sell. The second is that they are able to charge their customers a premium for the pleasure of assembling the final bear. They've been able to persuade their customers that down is up. They don't offer a fully finished product for sale, and if you do want their product, you will have to assemble it yourself. That is absolute genius. Home bakers have experienced a similar shift in how they make a product. For example, a birthday cake. When I was a kid, my grandma would make me a birthday cake from scratch every year. The cake cost maybe a dollar in commodity goods. Now, when she passed away, my mom took over the job of making my cake. She would go buy a cake mix, add an egg, some oil, and some water, and that was it. Of course, that cake was more expensive because of the convenience factor of having a pre-made cake mix, but you still had to make it yourself. There's a relationship between the amount you're paying and the experience you're getting with these products, and it's more than just simply convenience. Manufacturers have to walk a thin line between making a product so easy that it feels like cheating and so complex the user sees no value in the supposed convenience. When cake mixes first came out, they were really simple. All you had to do was add water. But people making these cakes didn't like it because it felt too easy, like they hadn't contributed anything to it and couldn't claim any pride in making the cake. So cake mixes were altered to require a fresh egg as well, and the products took off. If you want to build this kind of emotional connection with your customer, you need to look at how you can offer them a creative, I did this kind of an experience. There's also a positive customer experience in being able to feel a sense of personal pride in something they've done for themselves. Can you give them an opportunity to take ownership over the construction process? Look at ways in which you can add real value for your customer while simultaneously giving them a less finished product that then reduces your cost to manufacture and to ship that product. Can you give them the chance to say, I did this? So, can you create an on-demand version of your product? While this sounds easy, it requires you to dissect your product or service and ask yourself, what benefits would you get if you were able to sell your product such that the customer assembles it? Could assembling it be pitched as a learning, bonding, or more authentic process? And could you increase the perceived value and hence the cost of your product by emphasizing its real-time availability? It's not always about the finished product. By embedding an experience that solicits a I did this feeling, you could be the one to launch that next on-demand craze. I'm Phil McKinney, and thanks for listening. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join in. If you have any comments or suggestions, drop me a note at phil@killerinnovations.com. Beyond this show, I write about my personal experiences of being in the innovation game for the last two decades. Topics include innovation, creativity, culture, team building, metrics, frustrations, leadership, and how to win. You can find that content over at philmckinney.com. You can also find out information about my book, Beyond the Obvious, including extensive excerpts over at beyondtheobvious.com. You can find hardcover, digital, and audio versions of my book on Amazon or wherever you get your books from. Now, the reason I started this show back in 2005 was to pay back my early mentor. My first mentor, Bob Davis, invested an immense amount of time in training and coaching me, which had a major impact on my career. When I went back and asked him how I could pay him back, he laughed and said I couldn't. I had to pay it forward. If I could ask for a favor, could you help me pay it forward? How? One, by giving us a rating wherever you get your podcast, as that helps spread the word. And two, by telling others about the show. If you want to be part of the conversation between the shows, I hang out in the Innovators Community on Slack. The Innovators Community is a private community of vetted innovators who help each other succeed. Check it out at theinnovators.community. This episode of Kill Innovations was produced by the Innovators Network. You can find the show notes and the entire show catalog going back to 2005 at killerinnovations.com. I'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, go out and change the world with your killer innovation. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.